As we hear your word, we pray that we will respond appropriately in humility. Amen. It's not often that TV actually gets to me. Normally you just watch it, flick off, don't think twice. But every now and then something grabs and has traction. Not long ago, watched an episode of ER, and there was a man sitting there on a bed. He had advanced cancer. He knew he didn't have long to live, and he knew he wasn't right with God. Through the course of his job, he'd inadvertently killed an innocent man, and that guilt had plagued him every day of his life. You see him sitting on the bed and he starts to get agitated. You can see the fear in his eyes because he's scared stiff of dying. He wants to be right with God. And as he builds up, he gets angry and he screams out these words. Bring me someone I can talk to. Someone who can put me right with God. If you were called into that room, what on earth would you say? What would you share with this man who knew that his time was up and he was scared stiff of the other side? See, one reason why this episode actually grabbed me, got to me, is because I know how real that situation is. As a 17-year-old, I was sitting there in ER. I was sitting there with a mate who just had a head clash playing soccer. That afternoon, we sat for hours waiting for some treatment. Initially, we thought he just needed some stitches. But as the hours passed on, he started to get agitated and disorientated. The pressure from his fractured skull was building, and then he was rushed into surgery. That night for that 17-year-old was touch and go. He pulled through the surgery, but a few days later, he was up for a visit. I remember wandering in, sitting on his bed, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, I nearly died. And I was scared. I'm not ready. And I remember thinking to myself, what do I say? You know, I was a Christian, but I was bumbling around. I wasn't clear in my head what the Christian hope was. What would you say? Would you know what to say? Tonight, as we come to Jonah chapter 3, we'll see that Jonah preaches. The Ninevites hear and they respond. And God saves them from judgment. That's Jonah chapter 3 in a nutshell. But I want you to listen closely tonight. Because what we'll see is as Jonah preaches, his message is actually our message. Tonight, as we look at the Ninevites, as they hear the word of God and they respond, my prayer is that we will be like the Ninevites. In turn, as we hear the word of God, we will do the same and turn to Him. As we read about the Ninevites today, may they be a model for us. But also tonight, as we learn how these wicked people are saved from judgment, my prayer is that not only may we know that we can be saved from judgment, but my prayer is that as we leave here tonight, that we may have peace in our hearts, assured that we too are saved. And lastly, that we will know, that we'll be clear in our minds of the great hope that we have, the great hope that we've been given to proclaim. Come with me to Jonah chapter 3. We're going to zoom in and see Jonah preaching in a moment. But first, it's very important. I need to show you something very important. Just for a moment, read for yourself Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to give you a moment, and then I'm going to ask you a question. So read Jonah 3, verse 1 and 2. What do you notice about these verses? What you should notice is that we're back to the beginning again. These words are the same words that the book started with in Jonah chapter 1. And the question is, what will Jonah do this time? Verse 3, this time Jonah was obedient. See, it's very tempting here just to follow the story and rush into the verses. But if we do so, we'll miss a very important point. See, we need to pause for a moment at this point and reflect on those first two chapters. What do we learn? See, Jonah was sent firstly to the Ninevites, go to Nineveh. And he ran the wrong way. But this time, Jonah is sent to Nineveh, and he obeys the word of the Lord. What has happened in Jonah? See, as we've seen over the last 2 weeks, Jonah chapter 1 and 2, yes, it is a story of Jonah running away from the Lord. But it is equally a story of the loving Father who doesn't turn his back, but who lovingly disciplines his son. See, in the story of Jonah 1 and 2, we learn this important truth, that God disciplines those he loves. God disciplines those he loves. I want to be clear here. I am not saying that if you're suffering right now, you deserve it and God is teaching you a lesson. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is God can and does use suffering, hardship, tough times to discipline us, to teach us a thing or two, to knock us down a few pegs. Our loving Father allows us to suffer in order to refine our faith. Let me illustrate this. Just a couple of stories in the last couple of weeks. I was chatting to a Christian mate who was a very good athlete, a very good sportsman, in the sport in a very big way. He had an accident in which he broke his leg. And he was saying through that time he was absolutely frustrated. He couldn't achieve the goals he wanted to achieve. It was so painful and frustrating, that rehab. But he said, you know what? It was actually good for me. Because during that time, I realized that sport was too big a thing in my life. The priorities were all out. I was living for my sport. I was finding my identity in my sport. And God was on the back burner. You know, even though I broke my leg, it was actually a very helpful time for me. Just recently, I was chatting to a Christian mate who's gone through a terribly tough time. He was sharing with me the pain of watching his older brother lose the battle of cancer. The pain of someone who was so close, very slowly taken from his grip. And I said to him, mate, that must be tough. And he said, do you know what? It's actually taught me what's important. See, it's taught me that it's not about work, it's not about money, but the bottom line is people need the gospel. And so now, whatever I do, my work, my money, I need to make sure that the gospel goes out. See, a good question to ask yourself is, as you reflect on tough times, ask this question. How has God used this time to actually shape and change me to be more like Jesus? It's a good question to ask. Well, for Jonah, through hardship, the Lord humbled his servant. And the Lord humbled him in order to serve. Follow with me in chapter 3 from verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city and he proclaimed, "For 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned." In our first week in chapter 1, we actually saw that Jonah's mission is our mission, as he was sent to the nations to proclaim. But here we need to notice that his message is our message. Hear that? His message is judgment is coming. And our message is the same. But it's actually worse. Judgment is coming, not just on Nineveh, but to all. And this message is for us. I'm not sure if you remember the Apostle Paul. As he was in Athens, he stood up amongst all the guys in there, and he warned them. He warned them. He said, "Look at yourselves. You're there, you're making idols with your own hands and you're worshipping them." He said, "You guys have to turn back to God. Turn back to your Creator and repent now." Why? He says these words, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world. He will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he has given proof of this to all men by rising him from the dead." Have you heard the warning? Do you know that one day you will face judgment? See, one day soon, each individual will have to stand before God and give an account. Give an account for the way that they've lived, the way that they've acted, the things that they've thought, what they have done, what they have not done. Are you prepared for the judgment that is to come? See, this message, Jonah's message, it's for us. And if you're a Christian tonight, the message of God's coming judgment is not only for you to hear, but also for you to pass on. Because as messengers, like Jonah, our message is to warn people and prepare them for the coming judgment of God. It's pretty full on, isn't it? How does it make you feel? A little awkward? Sitting in that hospital room with a man who is scared of death, would you think of mentioning God's judgment? Would that spring to mind? I'm not sure if it would. Why? Because have you noticed that so often the Christian message is diluted and watered down to be just a lifestyle choice? And church is just a place to go and belong, or a place that can get you back up on your feet. See, you hear the Christian faith explained this way. See, would you like to become a Christian? You know, it's your choice. But when I became a Christian, I actually found more purpose in my life, and I think it might help you out. No mention of God's coming judgment. Or come along to church, it's great. You know, be part of it. It's a loving community. Everyone accepts one another, and you feel like you belong. No mention of God's coming judgment. Or, I know you feel guilty and ashamed, but come back to church, come on. It will help you get your life back on track somehow. No mention of God's coming judgment. Why? I want to suggest that it could be one of these three reasons. Firstly, it could be that deep down we do not believe the Word of God. That we don't believe that Jesus will come back as judge. That could be it. Or it could be that we've actually bought the lie of this world. That God's not really going to judge people. As people turn their back on Him, they're not really that bad. God's not going to judge them. It might be that we've bought the lie. Or it might be that we are so worried about what other people think. Because the whole judgment thing, it's not that popular. And people don't like it. Therefore, in order to get people in, we don't talk about the hard stuff. Let's just emphasize the good stuff. How God loves us. He wants us to live in harmony. And if we do so, we distort the message. Because we might think, hang on a second, they don't like what we say. They don't like us. I want us now to have a look at how the people respond to Jonah's raw message of judgment. Have a look with me from verses 4 to 9. This whole section is how the Ninevites respond. Firstly, verses 4 and 5, you see the bird's eye picture. The Ninevites, how do they respond? Well, we see that their response was instant. Verse 4, on that first day, they believed God. Secondly, their response was total. All of them, from the greatest all the way through to the least, it was total. And thirdly, it was genuine. As they humbled themselves before God, as they fasted and put on sackcloth. Do you see what they did? It's very important. Who did they respond to? Who did they hear? See, verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. See, it wasn't just this bloke Jonah reckons. Or what do you think of those words that Jonah said? See, it wasn't about Jonah, but about the message. Just a little word here. The messenger's role is to hand out the message. Our job is to pass on the word of God. If people reject it, it's the message they're rejecting. We need to know that so we can resist the temptation to change, modify, distort the message so you don't feel awkward. But see how they responded to the message? It is breathtaking. They hear God's word and they change. Let's just zoom in from verses 6 to 9 and see how the king of Nineveh responds. And as I read out his response, I want you to listen to the king, because his response is a model for us. How should we respond to the announcement of God's coming judgment? What does he do? Well, firstly, he hears and he acts. He hears, and he's not worried about what other people think. He hears the word of God and doesn't wonder, well, what's everyone else doing? He hears and he acts straight away. What does he do? He steps down from his throne and takes off his royal robes. He was in control. He was the king of this wicked nation. He was in control, but he recognizes who God is, and he steps down from the throne. And he submits to God. He puts on sackcloth, and he sat in the dust with a penitent heart and humility. He turns to God. Verse 7 to 9. See his official decree. Because as he hears the word of God, it's not a personal and private thing. But as he hears the word of God, his concern is also for others. And he calls them urgently to call to God. Guys, you need to do something right away. It is urgent that you respond to God. Don't put it off. And what do you need to do? Stop your evil and your violence. Turn to God. See what he communicates there? Turning to God is turning away from sin, violence, evil. This is the model of hearing the word of God and turning to him. He hears the word of God and he turns to God in humility, and he pleads with his countrymen to do the same. And as we hear the message of judgment, for some of us, it may be the very first time. How are we to respond? We are to turn to God in humility. And we are to plead with our countrymen to do the same. But this model of repentance is not just for those who respond for the very first time. No, this model is actually the daily Christian life. Because each day we make a decision. Each day we respond to the word of God. Each day we are to act and consciously turn to God in humility. And each day we are to plead with our countrymen, turn from evil, turn back to the living God. Lastly, the Ninevites turn to the living God. But have a look at the words of the king in verse 9. See in verse 9, he says, "Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." Do you find that disturbing? See, they've heard the word of God and they know that judgment is coming. They turn to God and they cry out to him. But where is their hope? Their hope is that God might hear. Was their repentance enough? They didn't know. Was it too little, too late? Who knows? Will they be okay? Not sure. They have no assurance. See, they've heard about God's judgment, but they did not hear about the promise of God's mercy to those who turn. See, the Ninevites here in chapter 3 stand as a stark contrast to Jonah in chapter 2. See, remember last week, as Jonah was sinking in the ocean, he calls out to God with confidence. With confidence, God will save. Why? Because the great privilege of knowing the promises of God is that when we turn to Him, we have assurance that we are sure that we will be safe. See, it's only through hearing the promises of God that our hearts can be at peace, that we know that we are safe. I started off talking about that EI episode, and I want to share with you what really disturbed me. What really got under my skin, and as I flicked off the TV, even hours later, I was disturbed. Because at the end of that episode, the man who was crying out, that desperate man who wanted answers, that man who wanted assurance that he could be okay, he did not hear about the promise of God. Does that trouble you? Because it would be an absolute tragedy for this man to die without hearing the wonderful promise of God. It would be a tragedy if this man was the only one. If he was the only one, it would be a tragedy. Yet we live in a city full of people right now who are scared of death, who are not prepared to face judgment, and who do not know the promise of mercy. As I close tonight, I want to take you back to that hospital bed. Back to when I was chatting with my mate. Because if I had that opportunity again with my friend, I want to show you what I would have wanted to share with him. And as I share this with you, I want you to listen. And if you are scared, if you know that you're not prepared to face the judge, listen to these words. Listen to God's word, which is one of judgment, yet wonderful mercy. This is what I wish I would have said. Simon, I know you're scared. But to be honest with you, I need to ask you a question. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready? Are you ready to face the judge and give an account for your life? Because I need to warn you. But I also need to share something with you. Remember when we were at school and we used to learn about what to do in bushfires? Remember each year they would come in and teach us what to do when the grass fire is approaching? You know, remember what they taught us when you knew that there was nowhere left to run? When you knew it was too late and you couldn't hide? Do you remember what they taught us? They taught us that the last resort was to light a small fire. Wait until the grass had burnt a bit, and then run quickly and stand where that small fire had been. Well, Simon, it's kind of like that. I need to warn you that judgment is coming and that you cannot run and you cannot hide. But the great news is that there is a safe place. There's a place where the fire has already been. See, when Jesus died on the cross, his death took the punishment, wiped away the judgment that you deserve. He has been judged in your place if you trust him and stand with him. Will you do that? Will you turn and stand with Jesus? Because if you turn back to God, trust Jesus, he gives his word that he'll keep you safe, safe with him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, your word is one of judgment, yet also wonderful mercy. Father, tonight, as we've heard about your coming judgment, it may be the first time, or it may be for 50 or 60 years we've heard this. Help us to respond to you humbly. Help us to turn to you. And Father, as we hear your message of judgment, give us boldness to love others and to warn and prepare them. Amen.